We've got Mark Brueggemann. He is Global Supply Analytics Manager across EMEA and APAC for the international giant that is Criteo. And Criteo are an ad tech business. They're an SSP and a DSP. That's a facilitator of online advertising, and it's about bringing advertising to the consumers and users. Today, we're going to talk about a huge topic that global business is going through. That's the merging of two companies and the impact that this has on technology teams. So we're going to look through data governance, the tools and the tech involved, and also the impact on people. Mark's going to be sharing his challenges and experiences and his approaches to overcoming all of those areas. So sit back and enjoy the ride that is this Data for Good conversation. Mark, the merging of two companies comes with massive data impact. What do you think is the biggest challenge for data teams to overcome when two companies, two giants come together?
The biggest challenge we have at the moment is that we have two different philosophies of our data stack. So our original Criteo data stack is in our own data centers. And the company we merged with, they are using a cloud solution. They are using Google's cloud solution. And we are living right now with two data stacks mainly, and we have to operate them. And the biggest challenge there is to get a holistic view of the business then, because we have to map the data, we have to merge the data as well. But for example, the account, how do you say, identification is different in both systems. So let's say you have two different CRM systems then, and in both systems, the ID is different on the account. And you have to bring them together in order to provide a holistic reporting to the management then. That's our biggest struggle at the moment. And that means also that you have to deal with a lot of data engineering tasks. So the teams, they feel a little bit set back from their original work. They have to merge data with simple tools like Excel. So my team went back to pulling data here, pulling data there, having VLOOKUPs in the beginning. So that was maybe a few months ago, but this is what you have to brace for, that you go back to tools like Excel. If you are more experienced with Python, you can match it in Python, but you are back to simple tasks, I would say, just in order to merge data, you know? So you go back from your fancy data analytics in your usual environment that you know, that you're familiar with, and you don't do any fancy algorithms right now, no fancy programs and tooling. So you go back and you just work on answer simple questions, and you focus more on merging the data than from two different stacks. This is one of the challenges we have right now, and I think it's a quite big challenge.
And do you think that would data stacks? I want to say, do you think that would be a universal challenge? The differences in data stacks, it would kind of make logical sense, right? That different companies come from different tech environments or ecosystems.
It depends. I think if you have a data stack that's both in data centers, then it might be easier. Here we have a cloud solution and we have an owned data center solution. It's really hard to bring this together. If you have database systems then and you can import them into your own database, that it might take maybe a couple of weeks or so in order to transfer the data, but then you have it in one location then. I think that might be easier. I think in general, what's a general problem is that you have to merge the system somehow. You have to map them. You have to map the commercial information from one data system to your existing data system. Like I said, so account IDs or naming of clients, for example, that's completely different. And I think that's you can generalize that because one company works different and names their clients differently, and then you have to map them.
Interesting. So in your case, it's also a matter of the on cloud versus on-prem complications. And it also seems that the challenges trickle down when you talk about management reporting. Everything ha would, I assume, still have to maintain great accuracy. And then you get data engineers involved, so they are set back, and then they're having to not regress, but at least temporarily go back to the basics in terms of Excel. But probably worth pointing out how valuable a skill and a tool is then Excel, as everybody, the modern analyst and engineers, has moved away from Excel and been told that it's not a requirement anymore, but seemingly it is.
I mean, you can freely choose, of course. So we have some team members then who use Python, as I said. So they import the data then from into Python. They merge data frames if they are quicker with that. Sometimes if the merge becomes more complex, then it's also the natural environment. But when you have a merger, I mean, in our case, it was a buy-in of technology, a buy-in of products. We wanted to just fast pace into the market with new products. And you are a little bit like in a startup environment right now. It's not so much that people want to have fancy algorithms. They just want to have quick, high-level answers. So there's the management. They want to know if the products can be rolled out, what would be the impact of those products. And you have to deliver high-level numbers in a fast, in a quick way. And then what you do is typically you pull data from one system, you pull data from the other system, and then you quickly merge them. However, you know, the tool, how you quickly merge it, you know, Excel works most of the time. And the data extracts are not too fancy, I would say, not too big. And you just want to provide a quick answer. So you are back to this startup mode where you have to answer quick and nobody cares really. So I mean your data stacks are not re really ready to do data science, you know.
I could see what's permeating there, a drive for excellence and innovation, though, particularly with the merger, which is a positive thing. Addressing the challenge areas in your most recent experience, what are those main areas of impact?
What we touched, it's the data governance, it's the data stacks really. What we discussed, you have maybe two different data stacks and philosophies, and you have to think about it, how to bring it together. Your reporting tools, they might be outdated or not really relevant, or they are just wrong because they miss always half of the business or a portion of the business, depending on the size of the company that you're buying. And then also you have, and that's the ne next thing, you have changes in the organization. So probably there will be some changes in the management level, on the management hierarchy, because I mean, you're merging with a company and you have people on the other side. And they also want to somehow see themselves in the new merged company then. But we saw changes on the management level. So people were leaving, people were going into other positions, for example. Then you have new managers in your upper hierarchy. They require different reporting, for example. So it's a little bit chaotic. There's lots of uncertainty and ambiguity also for a long time until the management organization has been settled, I would say. And yeah, that's then the organizational part. And also in terms of operations, of course, you will have no new processes because you bring in another company with a different working style, and they have also existing processes. You have existing processes. You have to sit down and then you have to combine your business processes. Depending if you're developing new products and pushing new products, then you have to define processes for the new products, for example. So you find yourself documenting your existing processes because somehow, you know, most of the times you know your processes, you don't have them documented in an official way that you can talk about them and share them. Everyone has learned them organically in the company. And you find yourself then writing down things, you know, what do you do, you know, on what tasks do you typically work, how do you do them? And then you try to merge it with the working processes of the other company as well. for us, it was for a long time not sure what the how the responsibility split will be between the teams that comes on board and us. So I think if you want to put this in order, then you should just very early in the stage, you should define a responsibility split. You should just make very clear what is the onboarded team responsible for, what is your team still responsible for. You have to maybe understand your USP as a team, and yeah, you have to have a good idea where you want to position yourself then in the in this new merged organization. And then of course it has an impact on the team. You know, it's the team struggles with the uncertainty, so you will have, as a manager, you will have more talks in order to listen to the concerns of your team members. Very often you don't have the answer yourself because there is the uncertainty in the whole system, and you do not get the information because the information, there's an information asymmetry. There's more information on the manager's side about what's going to happen. But of course, they are not sharing everything because a reorganization is not shared, is not made transparent, you know, not to confuse people. Yeah, so you have to deal with that, then.
It sounds like it seems that there are myriad areas that you need to cover. And this time I took note: governance, stack or tools, and organization being people. So three main areas: governance, tools, and organization or people. So we might be of some assistance to other leaders who either have these general challenges or they're going through a merger at some point. Let's address them. Let's dig a little bit deeper. So if we go into governance, what would be your key considerations? And with that, let's take that from your learnings. What would be your key considerations from what you've learned so far?
So I think very important is really the mapping of the data. You know, find a way very early in the stage, understand how your clients are mapped in the different systems and how you want to bring them together. Find a more sustainable solution then in order to bring data together. You know, we had a quick fix. It's okay, it works somehow, but it's not really perfect. We wished for something better in the beginning. It's better than nothing, but we just hope for more preparation on that end. So I mean, if you have the ability and the possibility, if you are in the right position that you can influence that, then you know, think about how you map the data together. License management is the thing, because maybe not everyone will get access to the new data environment. If you have a cloud service like we have, for example, then you have to pay for each query that is being run. So you cannot just run straight away queries. You have to apply for licenses. It depends then on the budget as well. So you find yourself in a situation where not everyone in your team can run queries because they don't have the license. Then what else? That was about tooling and mapping.
Data mapping, coming up with sustainable solutions, ideally rather than quick fixes, and then at least consider carefully what how you want to arrange your licensing in terms of who has access to what, because that's going to be a costly endeavor. So is that about prioritizing you know, the best people for each area of work, or is it assigning that to a certain team that manages everything and from a query perspective?
It depends, really. I mean, my team does not need that access right now because there is a sampled version of data, of the big data logs that they have in their cloud solution. They put an analytics tool on top of that, and we are fine by using that analytics tool. There's an API also available that you can call via Python. So we are living without these licenses, but we are living with sample data as well. You know, that's a thing that you could also take into consideration. It's a challenge because you might have different sampling algorithms or sampling methodologies on both sides. If you want to bring together sample data, for example, so the other company also samples their logs. We also sample our data for quick analysis, but the methodology is different. So might also be something for data engineering purposes to consider. But we are fine with that analysis tool. What is useful is that you find someone in the onboarded company, the company that you are merging with, to find someone who is an expert in that new in their analysis tool, and that you schedule trainings for your team, that your team is also comfortable in using this analysis tool, you know. That didn't happen quite like straight away in our organization. It was just, here's the tool, you know, make yourself comfortable with that tool. And it was lots of trial and error. And I think it could have done better. We could have done a better job by just organizing trainings, official trainings, and people showing us how to use that thing. That happened later then, when we've somehow networked and we knew then the new colleagues as well. Then we were asking around, and then we found experts who could do trainings for us, and then we invited them and asked them if they can do trainings. But I think we could have done a better job then by scheduling those trainings straight away.
Right. Well, this is the learning for others. This is excellent. So what I took there from a data governance perspective: ensure that you're data mapping early, coming up with a sustainable solution rather than a quick fix. Licensing, organize who will have access, because every query costs. And then data sampling, at least ensure how that's going to be done. And then key, have an expert who's knowledgeable in the data analytics tools or data analysis generally from the, I guess, the parent company of the merger, and then ensure a training program or some kind of culture around training, so it's not pushed aside and people have to do it on their own and make mistakes and form bad habits from that. Okay, this is a good start. Great. We're tackling it one by one, which I'm sure in your position I couldn't do. Moving on to issues with tech stack and toolings, what have been your learnings and your considerations for others so far?
Tooling is, some tools are just not usable anymore. And like I said, so they cover then one part of the business, but you don't have access then to the other part of the data then, and it's missing in the tool. They still work, but they do not show everything. So you have to understand then what your new management, however that will look like, what they want to see. And then you have to work on building new quick reports, I would say. So the reports become more high level, more business oriented, because the merger has a purpose. The merger brings in new products, for example, or new business streams then, and they want to have data, you know, but quick and high level. They want to drive the business. That's their first ask. So that is what we are currently doing and challenging. And I guess also what changes a little bit, that people are actually asking for external data, for market data. It's not necessarily data that you collect through your business and you have it in your data logs then. It's more market trends. And then people are asking you for market trends for the new products. So that's also then a struggle. So we are looking then for external data more, you know.
Interesting. So if, as data professionals need to be, they need to understand their users. So in this case, with the right tooling and tech stack, data people will need to understand what the real management needs are and use the appropriate tools effectively. In the case of data engineers, where they might have to suddenly stop using a certain technology and skill up in another one, how can that be done quickly? If management have needs, And let's go real simple, like visualization tools. If they're used to using one product and then suddenly they have to go to another and it's unfamiliar, how do you overcome that? Is it with sympathy and empathy, or?
It's expectation management, actually. So it will slow you down, and you have to tell your stakeholders, okay, it will just take more time right now. That's the only thing that we managed. So in the end, we provide the data, but it takes longer because we have to map the data. We also have to tell them it's not 100% accurate because the mapping is just difficult. Sometimes it's just erroneous and it needs manual input, for example. So you have to chase people, commercial people, to update a file or the CRM system, for example, if it's half automated, but you still need the human input then on some of those entries. And then you have to tell them, okay, this is what we can provide at the moment. And it would take a little longer because we have to map two systems together. That was also, yeah, that was a big challenge in the beginning. Getting complaints from the commercial team that we are not that quick as we used to be, really. And we told them, yeah, it's we have now two data stacks, and if you want to have the full view, then we have to map the data, we have to bring it together. It just takes time.
Okay. Could you have done that better by managing expectations at the beginning, or was that even when you had managed expectations?
No, I think we were not aware beforehand. Like we were like, we didn't know what's coming. It was, or for everyone, was the first merger. We did not know what's happened. And these are the challenges that we ran into. And you can do a better job if you're just saying, okay, we are going to merge. We will have probably two data stacks and we will work slower. That's what you can immediately say to your stakeholders, and just say, yes, we will provide the data, but it takes longer.
Yeah, I'm getting a strong theme of prepare for uncertainty.
Yes.
And in this case, it seems like the expectation management goes both ways. The managers have to, or leaders have to, manage their expectations of data team members and say, it's possible you're not going to be using the same technologies, and we recognize that that's going to be a challenge for you, but get ready to change. And then also, data people to leadership, they'll have to manage the leader's expectations and say, we're not going to be able to perform, potentially, we're not going to be able to perform the same tasks and deliverables based on this transition period. But what we can do is X, Y, and Z. Yeah, okay. So massive communication.
That would be fair to say.
Interesting. So massive communication tasks and activities to address there. Okay. And our kind of third and final area was organization as it impacts operations, people, and processes. I'm sure this is a huge area into itself. What have been your learnings so far, and what can be the considerations for other leaders?
I mean, it offers opportunity for the teams. That's good, right? Because the old crust is gone. You have new products, you have new projects. So it offers opportunities for team members. Ideally, your team members, they can deal with ambiguity and some kind of uncertainty. That's then the ideal candidate. I think they would like the new environment then. What you probably want to have in your team is also good networkers, because ideally you make very quick connections to your new team members that will just join the company then. And if you have people in your team who are good networkers, then you can lean on them, for example.
Are you referring to social skills?
Social skills, yeah. Just yeah. Social skills. They are important then during the merger, because there will be a new team and you just have to bond with them, you know, it's some way or the other. And I mean, they're also uncertain. They don't know, you know, your team. They are also unsure what's going to happen. And there's a lot of, I wouldn't say not everyone is scared, but everyone is curious and uncertain what's going to happen.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Yeah, on a human level, if you just network with them and you just say, hey, like, we are here to help, you know, we work together right now, you know, it's already a starting point. And if you
Do,
have
do, do.
people in your team, that helps.
Okay. So, I'm wondering where in situations data people perhaps maybe are not the strongest communicators or social networkers, what leadership typically does to facilitate that social networking. You need all your analysts and all your engineers to be autonomous, and you need them to start making connections with that other scary new side of the business. How can we help them do this? How can we facilitate that for them?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think what would have helped would be just team meetings, like the team bonding meetings, social events also. The problem is we are a very distributed company. So my team is already distributed across EMEA and APAC. They are not all in one office, even not in EMEA. And then the company that we merged with, they're also distributed then. So it's a high cost factor then to bring all the operations people together to just have a drink or a dinner or an event or something. But that would be ideal, something like that. If you have the possibility to bring people together just to meet physically, then I would choose that option. Definitely bring people together.
How let's look at a slightly smaller business that might be across Amsterdam, Berlin, and London, and it's still a little too costly to bring everybody together for those team bonding sessions. How would they overcome that?
Good question. What we did is, I mean, we invited each other in our weekly meetings, for example, in our stand-ups, just to see the faces. And everyone did like an introduction round and was quickly speaking about what currently or in the past was their daily job, because we did not know what everyone will do in the future, depending on the change of responsibilities. But we just said, okay, typically I was doing this and that, you know, and my core skills are, for example, Python programming, you know. And
Yeah.
then you have people catching that up, you know. Maybe you have someone in your team who is also has an affinity to Python scripting then, and knows, okay, on the other side there's a guy who is also into Python scripting, for example, so will memorize that name and reach out to that person then. And you have to do this of more often. So one time is not enough. That is what I realized. You have to do this more often, that people get used to each other. It's like one introduction round is not enough. You see the people, you dial off, you forget the names and you forget the faces. You have to see them in different meetings and, you know, in order to make a connection. It's, I think, slower than bringing them together. I think it's much easier if you have like an informal social event then, and people can have a drink and they can chat, you know. That I think that would have helped. But in our case, it was budget restrictions then. Do that, unfortunately, and we have to work through these virtual events then. And anyway,
That's the situation, so we have to work through it, and we
and what
have
helped, and what helped is when you find concrete initiatives or projects that people from different teams work together. That's because then they are forced to have working meetings. They are forced to have those recurring meetings then. So ideally, you identify something where they can both, when you know, a project where they can work together, for example.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that. Is there some kind of initiative where you data people are forced to work together? But a collaborative project would certainly do that. And if it brings value to the business, it's likely to bring value to the person. Okay, super. We've covered three main areas, and we could probably go all night, and people won't know that this is a Friday night. What do you suggest should be the key takeaways for data leaders going through these mergers or teams coming together? What considerations should they take from your experiences?
Yeah, it will. I mean, you're less focused on data and steering your data teams, and you will have different topics then. So, you have to, what I underestimated are all these things about change management. You know, I did not really deal with change management beforehand. For me, it was more or less like a thing, you know, a phrase or so. but it really makes sense to look into and read something up about change management, because I can now confirm that it happens in one way or the other. You know, now looking backwards, then I can tick off all the boxes that are in change management, but they do not come maybe as they're written on a slide. For example, like new values, when you have to change the mindset of your team, for example, in our case, we have moved from a cost center to a profit center. And you have to tell the people right now, okay, we try to make really money. So it's not like sitting back and doing, you know, just doing analytics right now. So we have to prove that we bring in money really, and do not focus on little tasks or fancy, interesting tasks. We have now to generate revenue. You know, if one thing is not really immediately generating revenue, then probably it's not the most important thing to do right now. Focus on the things that bring revenue. That was hard, you know, it was really a mind change then to the analysts, because they were used to, yeah, do their thing, you know, and not necessarily generating revenue, because we were not a revenue generating organization beforehand. Also, things like, we are not the only data masters anymore. You know, beforehand we were, you know, the ones who had access to data. With a new data stack coming in, suddenly more people have access to data and can pull data by themselves. So there's more data democracy right now, you know, and then you have to define a USP or the new value of your team, you know, and that's, then you have to give your team a new identity. You have to talk a lot to your people, because there is lots of uncertainty. People are worried about their jobs as well, you know. When you're in the limbo that, for example, you cannot do your old stuff and the new tasks or the new strategy is not there yet, then you're just in a, you know, you're in a limbo and you don't know what to do as an analyst, and people start to feel uncomfortable. You know, they just think, you know, what's our purpose now? You know, and you have to deal with all that, and it's not analytics anymore. So this is something, these are things that you have to brace for more management than team management and lots of communication, aside from these data stack things, you know, that you have to combine your data stacks.
Okay, this is great. Well, it seems like you focused on the leadership side there, and we talked about how there's lots of non-data challenges to overcome, and not least change management and culture and setting new values and kind of educating the team as to their new purpose, be it profit center versus cost center. Looking at the data individual contributor side, if you were in the shoes of a data analyst going through this, how, knowing what you know now, how should you prepare for this situation?
So you should definitely develop or have an open mindset and just say, okay, things will change. Probably we would stop some projects, but it's just, you know, what it is. And you should use the opportunity that's there for you, because you can gain visibility very quickly. You can own topics, you can pick topics. Also, there are lots of things in these merger situations which are non-analytical. And you can grab one of those, and everyone would be grateful if someone is driving that. That might be documenting processes, for example. Having, you know, organizing virtual team events, you know, with also that the new management is going to see your face, for example, because I mean, it's visibility, right? It's really visible, and you can gain visibility by just taking these social things and just seeing tasks through that are not non-analytical. You can jump on new projects, because there will be probably new products or some kind of new products or combined products. And you can just claim them. You have to elbow your way into that, because you cannot always ask your manager. Your manager, like myself, I was always, not always, I was also confused sometimes. I don't know. I couldn't tell my people who is the contact person for ABC, for example. And then people who are very self-sufficient and can network very well, they can just go there. They can create their own network. They can start elbowing their way into this product. And then they have a big opportunity to shine. That's a massive plus in this merger situation.
Fantastic. So for individual contributors, keep an open mind to change. There's going to be a lot of uncertainty. recognize that there are opportunities, those for learning, those for taking on new projects and new topics, but also for growing your career, and then take the initiative. You mentioned elbowing your way in there. So yeah, it seems like taking the initiative, having the confidence to do so is really important. So Mark, I won't take anything more from you. I know you're a busy guy and you've given us so much on the leadership and the IC side there. So thank you so much. Really appreciate your input today.
Very welcome. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome too. Where can people find out more about what Criteo is going through, or even what your team is going through? Where should I point people?
Everything I think is open, what we're currently doing on our website. We are pretty open and we are a listed company, so we have financial reports anyway. So all these things are probably on our website. And the investors room, you can look up what we are currently doing, you know, our initiatives, our change to the new platform, for example. I think that's a very good place to start.
Super. I will put that in the comments section as well. Mark, I'll leave it there. Thanks very much and good night.